item B is a general discussion, and the director will address some items, and then I'm sure we all have some others, perhaps. So, Director Unsworth.
Thank you. One of the first things I want to visit about today is I've just saw a request or an order to make some changes in the Area 10 fishery, and so I have some staff here. We're going to talk about that. Ryan, why don't you introduce yourself and go ahead and tell us what's going on.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. My name is Ryan Wilkerb. I'm the Puget Sound Recreational Salmon Fishery Manager, and I also have Mark Balsell here who manages the sampling unit out there in Puget Sound. And so with Area 10, we are, when we ran through, I believe it was October 18th, the season, we ended that with 163% of what we expected to encounter for Chinook. And the vast majority of those are sublegal, so we're having to sort through a lot of small fish, killing a bunch of fish with 25% mortality associated with sublegal. And with our guideline, we were needing to modify fishery per se, and the decision at that point was to close it completely, but then we reopened it, I believe, a few days later to chum retention, being that it's, you know, the run timing for chum salmon to come back. And now we're at the end of November. The run timing for chum is all about wrapped up, and looking at past catch record card data, the last 3 years, we've not caught one chum in Area 10. And so with us being at 163% of Chinook encounters as a whole, we're looking at trying to minimize any more impacts associated by people, quote, chum fishing out there. And so that's kind of where we stand. And there's, obviously a lot of sublegals in other marine areas around there as well. And we're monitoring that as we speak, trying to, like for Area 9, provide a quality blackmouth fishery later on this early next year, hopefully. But that's where we stand at this point.
Ryan, this is Commissioner Carpenter. Why don't you, for those commissioners that aren't always totally familiar with the catch reporting areas in Puget Sound, just do a brief description of the area you're talking about. I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, so Area 10 is basically the Seattle region of the marine areas. It's basically Kingston South to the north tip of Vashon Island, which would include Sinclair Inlet and Elliott Bay as well, and Shilshoal. And then Area 9, that would be basically north of there, going up to Port Townsend, and covering the Possession Point and Point No Point areas.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions of Ryan regarding the situation in Area 10?
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Jim Unsworth. You know, I know that this will be controversial, as anything in Area 10 is. Do you have any insights that you would like to pass along? It appears that we have overshot our contact limits by a considerable margin. So I guess that sounds to me like fishing has been good, but we don't want to jeopardize blackmouth fishery in Area 9 a little bit later down the road here. So
no, well, I mean, the good news is we got lots of immature fish. The bad news is we got lots of immature fish. But I mean, as far as the future opportunities throughout the state, we got to get those fish out to the ocean, and hopefully soon they'll be out migrating. What's your sense, Ryan, of when those fish will be out migrating to the ocean? I mean, it seems to be a little bit late now, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, so looking at past data, we typically see the sublegal numbers in Area 9, 10 kind of clear out starting December. So, but that being said, it's been an unusual year. There are still, our test boat fisher still says there's humpbacks out there in Area 9, 10 area, so that there's plenty of food, and if your juvenile fish wanted to grow fast, I would stay in the Sound at least.
This is Commissioner Thorburn. I have a question, Commissioner Carpenter, if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead, please.
Is it possible that this is related to some of the environmental distortion? I mean, you're sort of hinting at it, some of the environmental distortions like the blob that may be holding them in? Or is that
I don't think that's the case, but Ryan, you take a shot at that.
I mean, honestly, I think we know. Anyone get any number of factors, or just maybe just great survival in the Sound. And, you know, we had a good, maybe a phytoplankton bloom with a hot, dry summer. That could be something. I mean, it could be the blob keeping fish in. It could be any number of things, but I don't think we have any way of pinpointing it at this point.
It'd be nice to think it was something positive, like, you know, good hatch and fish residing, like you said, in Puget Sound. I have a question, Ryan. These fish that are being released, what's the composition? I mean, how many are they all Chinook? Are there some coho? Are they marked, unmarked? What's the ratio there? If you know, you know.
Should I pick up lunch?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much just seeing all Chinook out there. And, you know, in many cases, we're seeing actually some increased numbers in unmarked, which, you know, obviously is a good thing.
Very good. That's a very good thing indeed. Well, I guess what you're going to do is obviously you're going to track and see when they out-migrate, and then hopefully there can be some opportunity provided when we're clear of those. I mean, there's a huge number of abundance of juveniles I'm hearing there, or sublegals, as you want to call them. So, yeah, I think you guys are doing all you can do, to be honest with you, Director.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we had a heads up on that one. I'm a little gun shy to be a 10, so.
Yeah,
it might. I'm sorry?
I just.
Conrad, yeah, go ahead.
Comment. Yeah. On the downside, the possibility also exists that those juvenile fish are sitting in the middle of 17,000 harbor seals out there that are preying on them in Puget Sound that wouldn't be preying on them if they were off the coast.
Great point.
So I think you have to be very, very careful on any kind of a prediction here, because bottom line is we just plain don't know. So yeah. we need to act cautiously, I think.
Okay. Well, with that, that was kind of one of the main things, or the main thing I wanted to bring up. I know you wanted to discuss your schedule for next year, Commissioner.
Are there any other general discussion items prior to talking about scheduling?
Right. Commissioner Smith here.
Fire away, Mr. Chair.
And this is kind of, I'm just going to say it now, but it was kind of directed towards a later discussion. But I just wanted to reiterate, and for the benefit of all, the importance of the commission following process. Whether the issue, and this is in our deliberations and our discussions, whether the issue is cougars or steelhead or pygmy nuthatches, it really doesn't, that isn't the issue. It is the issue, I think, that when we deviate from process, it is very it distracts the main work of the commission, the critical work of the commission, and takes time and energy away from addressing the issues that we need to. So I just wanted to throw this out for the good of all, that as we continue down our path of deliberations, that we make sure that we do adhere to the processes that are established both by tradition and by WAC and by department policy. So I just wanted to mention that as a general.
Do you have a particular item that you're referring to, Brad? Because I hadn't heard about it. I guess I'm unaware.
Well, it gears up to the steelhead discussion, but it's more than that. Part of it, Larry, was you weren't at the meeting. You left on Saturday. But
Saturday morning, yeah.
Yeah, it's just I think it's very important that we do stick to process always. And the intentions are always good by everybody, but when we deviate, it does distract us from the work that we really need to do. So,
okay. I understand that. Go ahead.
This is Commissioner Graybill. I just want to echo what Brad just said. I think there can sometimes be a breakdown between committee discussions and presentations and deliberations, and then communication with the whole commission before they've had a time to really familiarize with subjects that we're dealing with at committee, whether it's Fish Committee, Wildlife Committee, whatever, and so that all commissioners have an opportunity to review whatever documents or discussions that are taking place at committee level, that it's shared with the entire commission so that there's they can participate in the discussion and are familiar with the issues before we move forward and have any sort of public disclosure of those discussions.
Okay. I think that's certainly reasonable and appropriate. While we brought that up, then let's put the steelhead issue on the table.
Well, I wasn't addressing this, Commissioner Carpenter, alone. I just think,
it's on
periodically,
it's on our agenda for this morning anyway, Brad.
I know.
We all received a document, written commentary from Commissioner Wecker, mm-hmm. and I just got a couple of thoughts on that I'd like to share, and then I'd like to open it up for some in-depth discussion because I think it's needed. And I'm one of those, so we are all from different geographic areas of the state, and sometimes our seat gets hotter in the area that we reside when an issue comes up, and it's particularly true, I think, on steelhead for several of us because of the areas that we live have historically been very important steelhead areas of opportunity. So I would like to open it up for a discussion about the proposal that's been sent out. I think everybody has it. It is titled A Proposal to the Commission Defining Immediate Priorities for Further Work Related to Steelhead Management, and open it up for discussion. I talked to Jim Scott about this morning, so any commissioners have thoughts, questions, views?
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Commissioner Keeney.
Mr. Keeney.
Yeah, and I read the document, and it looked well thought out. It looks, Commissioner Wecker did a good job of putting her thoughts on the document in writing. Couple questions I have. It looks like it went through kind of a vetting process or review through law enforcement. I didn't know if it needed to go through a similar type review or vetting through staff. That was just a question I had. And second, the need for the document, I guess, is something we should talk about, and maybe I had a feeling as if I wasn't sure that everything in the document wasn't already being done, or is this stating out things that are there's gaps in the process, that the commission has to instruct the department on some gaps they're seeing. And I didn't get a feel for that, or maybe I just don't have a background in that enough. So maybe someone from the fisheries department or Director Runswitz could answer that. Does he feel this is necessary, I guess, was one of my questions. As a document, it looked well thought out and well put together. I think it should also, if we move ahead with it, in my mind, it needs to kind of go back through the Fish Committee, have them completely review it with some of these suggestions, and then bring it to the full commission in an open session for discussion in front of the.
Okay. Thank you. If I may, is Jim Scott in the room, Director?
Yes, he is.
Okay, thank you. I would just, I don't want to put somebody on the spot here, but Commissioner Mankin, you have more tenure on the commission than most of us, and can you give some perspective on the last time the steelhead issues have been addressed in totality by as it relates to commission policy? It was prior to my involvement.
Yeah, well, steelhead has, Jim Scott's the best one to answer that, but let me just say that the steelhead issue has been controversial. It's been evolving. There is tremendous pressure out there from the public, as you all know, to do something new with steelhead, and to, especially in the area of conservation and habitat, because it's under such pressure. And I think the issue that kind of galvanizes everybody is the potential for listing of steelhead out on the coast because of the pressure and the harvest, the difficulties that we that we have with getting good, concise statements from our co-managers on where we're going with Steelhead. And there are lots and lots of people involved in it. It's something that we hear about all the time and have heard about for years and years. And I think Commissioner Wecker is right on in trying to establish, working with the department. She's worked, I think, with Jim on this, working with the department to get a concise statement. I don't think this is a concise statement yet, but to get a concise statement of where we're going with Steelhead.
Any other thoughts?
Maybe Jim would weigh in.
I think Jim Scott would be the appropriate guy to weigh in at this point.
This is Jim Scott. Welcome, commissioners. And, when Mr. Wecker and I initially discussed this, it was as a follow-up to our August presentation to the commission on the implementation of the statewide steelhead management plan. And as Commissioner Mankin said, steelhead were a really hot issue in the mid-2000s, led to a lot of part of the department adoption of the policy statements that are in the plan. The plan called for a five-year review by the commission on implementation, and that was the intent of our presentation. So our thought after the presentation was to give the commission a chance to discuss the status of the plan and perhaps review the priorities that the department had established to make they were consistent with the policy direction that the commission was in. So on the staff level, we have worked extensively with Commissioner Wecker on the draft, and we're comfortable with the statements on the fish side. As one of the commissioners mentioned, the enforcement section was a late add, and we had Chief Crown review that earlier, and he provided some comments.
Thank you, Jim.
This is Commissioner
Thornburn.
I kind of have some of the same question that Commissioner Keeney raised. Just I'm not clear in looking back on the presentation that we had on the management plan and the actions that are being taken by the staff to implement that. I really wasn't clear on the purpose of this document. One example, it refers specifically to the Skagit River and getting that plan submitted to NOAA. In the presentation in August, we heard that staff has actually set a date goal to get that done, and yet we're just kind of reiterating it in this document without a date. I looked back and at the plan, I looked back at the implementation that was presented by the staff and really kind of questioned what this document was all about. Sort of referring to back to the process issue that was raised earlier, I was concerned that we were having staff devote time to write something that basically is already underway. I think I'd rather have staff working on implementation than spending time writing documents that I can't really understand how it's a lot different from what's already going on.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jim. I think that Commissioner Thorburn identified some I guess concerns of mine, there, a lot in this document is it does kind of outline work as currently being undertaken. I can appreciate that it does organize our thoughts a little bit and does a nice summary for the commission of where they're at from a policy standpoint. When I looked through it and read it, I didn't have a lot of heartburn with it. Whether or not it was necessary, I don't know. Probably not. But it's kind of one of those things. If the commission, obviously some people on the commission felt that we needed to have a little bit better summary and outline of work as it's progressing, and I don't have an issue with that. And maybe we could have done a better job just outlining that. But I don't see anything in here that's a real deviation from current commission policy or work direction or work plans going on within the department.
Anyone else have any comments?
This is Commissioner Keeney again.
Yes, Commissioner Keeney.
And I guess hearing that, and you know, it creates in my mind, if it's a document for the commission to feel, you know, good that we have, you know, things down in writing so that we totally understand the direction, that's good. I would suggest at this point the process would be that this document goes back, you know, to the Fish Committee to discuss, because that's where I think we should rely on a recommendation coming to the full commission from that committee, who works with staff, who works with, you know, any experts they want to pull in to see if this is even needed. Their recommendation could come back and say, you know, after reviewing it, we didn't feel it was necessary. It could come back and say, you know, it's good to have these things on paper, and we've made some changes. Let's discuss this. So that would be my suggestion, because I don't see anything wrong with this. But if it took a lot of time to create and doesn't change anything, or all of this is already going on, you know, we might consider whether the time spent on it was worthwhile. But Commissioner Mankin says everything is correct in here. I believe him. I understand that there might be a need to put things in writing.
Well, we are under, you know, a great deal of pressure from stakeholders regarding our steelhead resource and steelhead management. I think there's some parts in this document that speak to that. I think Jim Scott's involvement in it has been very helpful. You know, Commissioner Wecker had the recommendation that we talk about it today, and then perhaps it go on the commission website. I agree we should talk about it. I'm not in a place where I think it should go on the website. So I guess having said that, any other comments?
Commissioner Graybill, I agree with what you're saying, Larry, that it's not ready for public exposure at this point, and I agree with Commissioner Keeney that it probably needs to go back to committee for a little further review, and then allow a draft be distributed to the full commission, so if they have questions, they can talk to Fish Committee members. It's just a little too early to certainly put this in front of the public.
Are you suggesting, Commissioner Graybill, that we the Fish Committee deal with this in December, and then we have a distributed and have a discussion at the December Commission meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Anyone else?
Now, this is the director again. I think that I do kind of like the idea of having a nice, concise summary that we could put on the web page that lets the public have an abstract of what we're doing and the work we're progressing on. So I think that the Fish Committee could shape this into a nice little document that outlines where we're at and where we're headed.
And Commissioner Smith, Mr. Vice Chair?
Mr. Smith, Commissioner Smith, Chairman, please fire away.
I concur with the director on that. I had no angst over the document. I think I'm sure it was well intended, but again, I go back to going through the proper process would have just alleviated a lot of this. But I think having the Fish Committee, and I emphasize the committee,
do a review of this and summarize it, and then bring it to the commission. And I, at that point, I you know, if the committee gives its thumbs up, and I see that its value going on the website, as the director said, would be nice in a concise statement of intent and planning. So. And December would be a good time frame. Yeah.
Okay. If no one else has any comments, the Fish Committee will review this in our December meeting and come up with something for the entire commission to review and or discuss the following day in December. Everyone, no disagreement with that one?
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you all. Next item, whoever has it, bring it up, please.
I'll bring it up, Mr. Vice Chair, on the scheduling.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So I think this discussion has gone on a bit, and I had to leave the meeting early, so I missed the final discussion on the February meeting. But my thoughts on this were simply, I think the February meeting was canceled because we had to bump January's meeting down quite a bit to the end of the month for conflict with other fisheries meetings that were going on. And, you know, it makes some sense. However, I felt, well, we're only in front of the public so many times a year, and this took us down to 8 times a year rather than 9. And I thought, well, maybe we should look at May or July, because those are other months that we don't meet in and talk about those. And in particular, I was thinking May would be a good time. I think Commissioner Wecker suggested, well, let's look at alternative dates in February, because legislation is in town, legislators are in town, and that gives opportunity for commissioners to meet, and I understand that. My only problem is that the later in February, neither of those weekends work for me in particular, and I know we can't all make every meeting. I don't know, talking with Jay Hosemiller, I think he still has problems with calving in February, so February is just a tough month. So I would suggest, well, I have a quick question. Are we looking at suggesting a calendar that's going to be this way every year, that the January meeting will always be later to avoid some of the problems with earlier meetings? And if so, maybe we can make a decision. But February is going to be a tough month regardless, I think, for more of the commissioners to make. So my suggestion would be to go with the suggestion, I think, from Tammy, that if we went to May, we could do the 13th, 14th, and just skip the February meeting. But I'm open for suggestions, and if we decide on February and I can't make it, so be it.
Yeah, Commissioner Keeney, Commissioner Smith here. To answer your first question about the January meetings, I know one of those is the WAFLA. Can never say that one. I don't think that's set. So it's normally, I think, sometime in January, but it's not set. So, yeah, that's the answer to that.
Okay, because I think normally we would have met either the 8th or 9th or the 15th, 16th of January, and then we wouldn't have met. Then we would meet early February again, so we'd be on a normal schedule. Well, I don't know, me personally, I switched a vacation that I normally take early February to late February just to avoid that, and it's hard for me to switch that back.
Commissioners, this is Tammy. None of the dates are set in stone. We can change them each year as, you know, obviously other meeting dates change as well, so we kind of have to work around those. So, Jay, I don't think anybody's saying that, you know, this January dates are going to be set for following years. We'll look at it each year before we decide, like we're doing now. This year, people were busy the first 3 weeks of January, which caused us to bump it out a little further, plus the need to meet in Vancouver.
Okay. So to me, this is kind of an analogy, or it's not a common occurrence. If we kind of go back to our normal schedule, we would have an early January, early February, mid-March meeting. So this is more like deciding which is best for this year. And I guess it's up to, you know, in my mind, if more people feel it's important to meet in February because of those contacts with legislators, so be it. If people aren't really going to be doing that too much, and we could move that meeting to May, you know, that's better for travel for a lot of us that come from the east side, and I'd suggest the May meeting. But I know Miranda's not here, and she had a particular feeling that February would still be better for her to contact legislators.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Yes, Bob.
Thank you. I will put in a pitch to keep the February meeting. I know it potentially creates difficulty for Commissioner Caney and potentially Commissioner Holtzmiller, but I think it's important not only to kind of meet with legislators, but also this is right before the North of Falcon process. And I know I have an issue, and I won't belabor it or discuss it right now. I was going to wait till December, but I think it's important that that we do have that meeting in February, like I say, which is just right before the North of Falcon process, so that we can kind of give staff some perhaps policy directions on issues, and I have one, like I said, in mind. My preference would be to keep the February meeting.
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Mr. Caney.
Director Caney? Excuse me, Commissioner Caney.
Who the heck are we?
You got a promotion.
And I appreciate what Commissioner Kehoe is saying. So I would move that we keep the February meeting for this year. And then in looking at next year's calendar, we try to get back onto the normal schedule of a early January meeting, an early February meeting. That would avoid, you know, some of the problems that creates for me. And so I'd be more than happy to go that direction and miss the February meeting.
So I heard Commissioner Keating make a motion.
Do we have a second?
No.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. And Tammy, you got that recorded, I hope. Okay, all those in favor? Say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Moving right along. What's next, please? We don't have a next. We see here we have an upcoming conference call on December 4th, so everyone knows that. And then our December meeting, December 11th and 12th, is in Port Townsend next month. So do we have any other comments by anyone on the call?
Mr. Vice Chair.
Commissioner Caney?
Yes. Chair Smith, were you on there as well?
Right. I just had a quick question for Tammy. Does the schedule look, the schedule must look pretty full for Port Townsend, right, for the meeting?
We have a little time, but again, we're trying to work in that tour that we've done out.
Okay.
So we have time on Saturday.
Okay. And when would we be able to see a draft of that agenda?
I could send you what I have this afternoon. However, it's not set in stone. There was a little discussion earlier this week as to maybe adding an item or so.
Okay.
But I'll send it to you, and you just know it's a draft.
Okay, yeah, I'm just curious to see what's fleshing out there. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Vice Chair, this is Commissioner Keating.
Commissioner Keating, please.
Did you want to decide today on whether we want an Eastern Washington August or September meeting or wait for a later date?
I don't have a position on that. Tammy, what have we done historically on that? Do that before the year's out?
Typically, we have a schedule set by now for next year, and we have been the last couple of years meeting in September in Eastern Washington. We don't necessarily have to pick a location. We just usually say we'll be on the east side one of those 2 months.
September
would be fine. So if you want to decide that,
sure,
we can figure it out, or we can decide a little later.
Commissioner Keeney, do you have a suggestion, recommendation?
No, I just saw it in Tammy's notes, and I was wondering if she needed a decision from us today. So I don't have any druthers. We are, you know, going to different locations quite a bit on the west side, and we will be in the east side in March. So I didn't know if it was absolutely necessary. I know sometimes it's more of a cost to the department to travel, you know, that maybe we wouldn't travel outside. But if I'm open for whatever people want to do.
I would prefer if you have suggestions, for Eastern Washington in September, that you send those to me, then we can bring it up at our next couple conference call or something and see if we can get an agreement on that.
I think we should be on the east side at least twice a year. I think it's an appropriate thing to do, to be in front of the public with the issues we have. But could we strive to come up with a location and decide on that in December? Is that something everyone would agree with?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Great.
So, Tammy, we will make a, maybe you can give us some suggestions in December, and we'll pick one and nail it down. How would that be?
That works for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone, any commissioners or staff have any other additional business? Hearing none, I'll bring this conference call to a close at 9:07, November 20th, 2015. Thank you all. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.